Why is God so good to us? Do we believe God is good to us? God values us. When Jesus was teaching and talking about looking at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them, are you not of more value than them? Aren't you worth more than them? And we look at that and we acknowledge that, and we have maybe you have a better understanding than me, but of our value to God. We know it in theory. But that's not what I want to talk about today, because I really think that how we value God will affect our concept of His valuing us. Because if we don't value God, then we are open targets for the enemy to condemn us, to rob us, to lie to us. And we will agree with him because we are not God. And we don't understand how God thinks, even though he said, look, I'll be a father to you. And for years I've been saying, I learned a lot about God by how I feel as a father. And yet, Scripture points out that even though I'm evil and I know how to give good things, how much more will God, who's not evil, do for his children? But to be able to receive the kind of value that he puts on us, then we need to necessarily do whatever we need to do to show him his value to us. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But for us to be clear here and here, we need to be able to satisfy ourselves that I am giving God the proper valuation in my life. Do I value God? If I value him, how is it that I'm showing him that I value him? Now, certainly, we honor him when we ask, because when we ask, that's like saying, I need you. And so that honors him. But does it show that we value him? Because before I ever knew him, and only knew a little bit of him, I knew in desperation to say, oh God, help. And I knew to make multitude of promises to him, because I felt that if I made promises to him, that would influence his decision. And then I would have a certain amount of guilt that I never bothered to keep those promises. Not a lot of guilt, because I didn't value him. I didn't value him enough to honor him the way that he should be honored. I valued what he could do for me, or what I thought maybe he would do for me, but I had no real assurance that he would. I just read a devotion this morning. It's an old one that Gloria Copeland written, but she talked about how much easier it was to depend on God when they were believing God for their next 25 cents or for their next anything. They said, because the real test came when, after years and years and years of applying the Word of God and of putting their trust in God, and the blessings began to flow, that was when the real test came, because they weren't desperate anymore. You see, when things are swell and going well, it's a lot easier to diminish our value in God, because we don't need God as much in our estimation. But we need to estimate differently. And we need to value him all the time. And we need to take care lest we should be found guilty of telling lies about God, of doubting God and revealing God to be not who God says that He is. Because if God is good, then it should appear to everyone around us that He is good. Understand that the Word of God is revelatory. It's never condemning, but it's revelation. And so if we discover that I have not been valuing God, start valuing God. It's like I said, you know, when you have valuables and you declare them to your insurance company, they want pictures. And if you declare them to be of great, great, great value, then they want appraisals. And if they call you and they say, we need a new appraisal or we're not going to insure that, you will be quick to get that appraised and get it insured. Right? Because you value it. Because it's valuable. So when the Spirit of God touches our hearts, and the Holy Spirit says, you need a fresh evaluation, that's not the time to say, oh, I'm not going to get that done. That's the time to say, amen, thank you, Lord. Right away. Because the sooner the better. Now, the nice thing when it comes to God is we can reassess and instantly get back into the value thing. It's not a, doesn't take time to take a picture, get it appraised, and send it in. It's, Lord, I have searched my heart and discovered that I have not been valuing you as I should. And you are valuable to me. Lord, you are more precious than silver. We sing that. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you're more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares to you. When Jesus spoke and said, I got this one thing against you, you've lost your first love. First loves don't need anything but love. But in the natural, as love goes on, it needs a little sprucing up. You know? Don't forget Paula's birthday, Bernie. My wife has a birthday coming up. Don't forget Vicky's birthday, Roger. Like I could. Tremaine, you have a birthday coming up too, or are you just sitting there praising the Lord? Arms up. I thought maybe you had something to say. But you know, I mean, and that's okay. Well, you know what? God wants to be love. He desires our love. He desires our praise. He desires to be valued. He knows how valuable He is. Like I said, for things that we value, we take care of them. Guy asked me one day, how come I had my motorcycle covered in the garage? Because it's valuable to me. I read that the bugs will mess up the finish, so I clean it up when I'm done riding it. I like to take the cover off and have it not be dusty because it's valuable to me. It doesn't have to be new to be valuable. It's what value we place on it. Like I said, sadly, my scooters, they don't get covered much. They bend in the sun. They don't even get washed much. They just get started and they get ridden and then they just get put away. And well, because they aren't that important. a little bit important. Important enough that they get a place to park, but not as valuable. Well, sometimes I think that as Christians, we can treat God like the motorcycle we cover, and we can treat God like the scooter that sometimes gets left out because we forget it outside. I've done that too. Sometimes, as much as we might hate to admit it, we value God according to how well he performs. But by faith, we know that he's always performing, right? We know that we are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We know this in theory, right? But we sometimes don't grasp the theory. And so, well, God, if you're not getting done what you're supposed to, then I'm going to have to worry about it until it happens. You're just not valuable enough for me to put it in you, you know? Because if you know what I need and you're not taking care of it, Lord, then you've forgotten me, and then that's decreasing his value too. I mean, God spoke about Israel and he said, man, I carried you. I will carry you. I will keep carrying you. I'll always be there to carry you. But you just neglected me. But don't worry, I'll still carry you. But what caused them to be in a position where they were overrun was that they quit valuing him. And they put more value on other things than just on him. God watches over his word to perform it. Do you know that you are the living word? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh. Jesus became flesh. We became flesh. He watches over his word. You were spoken. Let us make man in our image. You are a living word. Otherwise, you couldn't be the light of the world. You couldn't be a priest or a king. You are the living word. You are the manifestation of what God said you would be. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And when you're saved, you are a manifestation of the word. And he watches over his word to perform for it, to it, and through it. Really? If you think about it, that's true. But then do we put value on it? I mean, how many opportunities do you have a day to be distracted? How many opportunities a day do you have to believe or to doubt? How many opportunities a day do you have to whine or to shout? Remember when we talked about Jesus saying that you keep seeing those little things wrong with other things, but you don't see the big log in your own eye. Get the big log out of your own eye and you'll be able to help others to get the little thing out of their eye. And when the big log's out of your eye, you don't even really notice so much the things in their eyes. You see, when things are wrong, it's because we don't see God. And so we got to fix everything. But when we see God, everything's fixed. Oh, the world doesn't become perfect. There's still a bunch of junk around. There's still all kinds of things. There's still abortion, and there's still all those things that are so awful. But God's good. Be not drunk with the wine. Be full of the Spirit, you know? I I know what it is to be drunk. And I know that when I'm drunk enough, I don't think about much. A long time ago since I was drunk. But I can still remember that I couldn't think about much. So be full of the Holy Spirit, and you know what? When you get full of that Holy Spirit, things become pretty copacetic. We got a feeling everything will be all right. Why do you think the devil has such things that are imitators of God? Why do you think people run to a bottle or run to drugs? Well, because it will numb you. But we're not like that. We can run to the Spirit of God. But we got to keep our valuation up on God. How important is God? How able is God? How appreciative are we of God? He's good. Are we willing to believe what Habakkuk wrote? Let it all fall apart. I'll still praise the Lord. I don't want it to fall apart, but I'm going to practice praising the Lord before it falls apart. And as it's falling apart, I'm going to be praising the Lord. And if it's all laying in a pile, I'm just going to praise the Lord because I like it. That's what Habakkuk said. He just didn't say it in those exact words. But he said, I figured something out. If I praise the Lord, it'll be all right. Now, to the natural mind, that makes no sense. And it just doesn't work that good. And guess what? We've all got a little natural mind that still is active, that argues against the spiritual mind. Paul said it. He said, it's no longer me, but it's a sin that's still in me. Get behind me, Satan. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get away. Am I willing to entertain my doubts, or do I have such a high value on God that I just don't have to worry about that? Get out, doubt. I value the opinion of God. The more that our valuation of God grows, the freer we are to receive His valuation of us. His valuation of us goes far beyond what we can comprehend. Who can really comprehend that He gave His only Son? I mean, who can really comprehend that? You see, in theory, we can say, well, yes, I know Jesus died on the cross to forgive my sins. God must have loved me a whole bunch. But when we really can evaluate that, because we have really put a high value on God, we can see that Jesus died for me. And if God did not withhold His only begotten Son, then what good thing would He keep from me? If I, being evil, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more will my Father in heaven give good gifts to me? I value what He says. He says it. Because when you value the person, you value what they say. When you get a letter from Publishers Clearing House that says, you have won, and then you already know that when you open it, it's going to say, well, you might if your number is, you know, 1 of 7 billion, you know, you don't think too much of it. But if you get a letter from somebody that you're expecting something from or you're glad to see, you look at the return address and you love that letter. You're thankful for that letter because you put a value on the one who sent it. What you value, you take care of. If you value God and your relationship with God, you take care of it. I strongly dislike sleeping in. Because if I sleep in, I miss the dark. And I really like sitting in my chair in the dark talking to God. Because when the sun comes up, I feel like there's too many things to distract me. But when I'm in my chair in the dark, and I like my chair in the dark because it's my place and it's me in God's space. And every time I'm away from my chair, when I come back, I say, oh God, this is really good. I mean, I know you're everywhere that I am, and I know that it's wonderful, but this is our spot. And because it's important to me, it is important to him too. He says, yes, I like this spot too. Does he like the spot because the spot makes any difference? No, he likes the spot because I like the spot. And because in that spot, I'm convinced I love him better. I just love him better there than any place else. I wish I could love him everywhere the same way I love him there. But that spot is a spot reserved for him and me. Oh, I love him throughout the day, and I love him in the night. And I try to always turn my mind to say, oh, I love you, God. I mean, that's just that. But, oh, I value that spot. And I value the way I have that spot. And I have to be real cautious if Vicki messes with my spot. Because it's like, then I got to get everything back to where it's my spot again. And every time I get it back to where it's my spot again, then she has to just scowl at it until she puts it back to her spot again. Now, don't get me wrong, honey. You don't do it all the time. But I just can see the look on your face when you come to straighten up that spot. It's like, it's as big a relief for you when you put it the way you like it as it is for me when I get it the way I like it. And so I have to honor God when I'm getting it the way I like it, and she has to honor God when she's getting it the way she likes it. See, because I do, I say, oh Lord, I know that I'm going to get it the way I want it, and I know that Vicki doesn't like it this way so much, and it's good when I do it with that attitude. But sometimes I do it with the attitude, why doesn't she just leave my spot alone? You know? That usually happens when I go to set my coffee where I should be able to set my coffee, and I spill my coffee because somebody messed with my spot. And then it's her fault, not my fault. And then I have to overcome that. And so I waste a lot of time in my spot getting everything right the way it's supposed to be. And I have to hurry because the sun might come up. Because I like my spot in the dark with my Lord. And if everything's the way that it is, I can come in the dark and I can sit down and I just know my spot. And me and Jesus, we have a fine time. I value that. But if I really, really value it, then I've got to be able to overcome the things that easily distract me from it. Sometimes, if it isn't dark, I pull my hoodie over my face, so then it's dark. But it's just not the same. That's just, you know, it's like I feel like I honor him and value him better if I get up early enough to do it in the dark. But he just wants me to honor him and value him. That's all he wants from you. He wants you to value him above those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. He wants you to value him above everything. Just put him on the throne where he's, I exalt thee, O Lord. I exalt thee, O Lord. Just put him there. He just wants to be valued. He doesn't lord it over you to get you to value him. He doesn't punish you to get you to value him. He just sits there waiting to be valued. And when you value him, he arises to look upon you. You see, it's a problem if we value our problems more than we value our Lord. What do you mean? I don't even like my problems. No, but you give them more attention. We give them more attention, not you. I'm speaking to we, but that's what we do, don't we? You know, if I go to Walmart and I get the perfect parking spot, that's the favor of God. If I don't get the perfect parking spot, that doesn't mean God doesn't still love me. Still the favor of God. Actually, I thank God on those days because I can walk clear from the other end if I want to. I am frisky. I am healthy. I can do it. In fact, sometimes I don't take the perfect spot. Sometimes I go park far away because somebody needs that spot that can't walk. Or somebody needs to pull in there and say, well, thank God I got a good spot. I don't know why, but sometimes I pass those up because somebody else is driving around and needs it. I mean, what difference does it make if I walk 500 feet or 5 feet? Give me a break, you know? Unless, of course, it's 110 out and my ice cream might melt, and that's a different story. But my actions and my attitude and my words will reveal my value of God. So I want people to hear me value God. More importantly, I want God to hear me value God. But God doesn't just hear when I've got my favorite spot in my favorite chair at my favorite time of day. He hears all day long. And God doesn't just hear the words that come out of my mouth. He knows the meditations of my heart. So I want to be aware of what value I'm placing on God. I need God's help so that I am always valuing Him, not according to my circumstances, but according to my faith and my hope. The Lord was speaking to me this week about, well, we were speaking about some things together, and I was talking about something that had potential value, and he told me that I didn't really need to depend on that for value, that he had other things of value. And we talked about that he said you could write. Now, he and I have talked a lot about writing a book. And, you know, other people have talked to me about, you know, I've got probably 3,000 devotions that have been written, but I don't think I would know how to write a book. But God said, you could write. And I said, well, Lord, after we've talked like this, if I just wrote to get money, then I would think that there's something wrong with that, you know? And here's what he said to me. He said, if you have the money, you can change people's circumstances. But words can change people's lives. He told me that as I was going to the jail. So when I spoke to the people of jail, I said, you know something? I've thought of a lot of things that I would like to have a lot more money to do a lot more things for the people in the jail and when they get out of jail. But I said, if you get out of jail, all it will change is your circumstances. But if you take the word with you, it'll change your life. And do you know that they got that? They understood that. Because many of them, or most of them, have had their circumstances changed from in jail, out of jail, back to in jail. Recognizing that if they change their life, they'll stay out of there. I want to change life. That's what Jesus came to give us. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But oftentimes, when our circumstances change, we lose the life. And the circumstances, what we have to come to understand is the circumstances are not everything. Life is everything. And the more we value God, the more that we understand that. And though I love God everywhere, I really love that spot in my house. But I don't quit loving Him because I can't get to that spot. I try to make any spot just as nice as that as I can. You know, in that spot I can shout when I read something. I have to be a little careful if I'm someplace where there's a lot of people that may be sleeping, because not everybody's up at that time. So then I have to shout without words. I can listen to anything that I want when I've got my own little spot. But when I understand how valuable God is and how capable God is, then any spot's okay. I probably have two spots where I can, the motorcycle and my chair. And I don't know why. It's a gift that God gave me, my motorcycle, to enjoy. And He apparently knew beforehand that I would just enjoy Him on it. Because I value Him more than I value anything. I just got to work on showing it all the time. So we need to give proper attention to valuing God. Search your hearts, the Bible says. Because you see, there's benefits to valuing Him. And we need to be willing to acknowledge if we value something above Him and just say, get out. Put Him at the top of the value. Just value Him the most. That doesn't mean that you have to throw away everything. It just means that you have to put it in its proper place. And value God. What value do we place on God and on our relationship with Him? We have to value Him beyond a ticket to heaven. We need to value Him and honor what He has said. Jesus said, I came so you could have life. Life, life. We need to value what He said. And place Him above all things. Above all things. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this is a day when we all say, hey, I'm going to value God. I'm not just going to believe that He exists. I'm going to value Him. I'm going to place a high value on what He says. I'm going to place a high value on what He thinks. I'm going to just place a high value. I'm going to value Him above every circumstance. I'm going to value Him above every blessing. I'm going to value Him above everything that steals from me. I'm just going to value God above it. And He will increase the value according to how I value Him. Let that be our heart's declaration. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.